Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Evening, everybody. It's good to see you tonight. If you need a Bible study, raise your hand and somebody will bring it to you. We're going to study tonight about the promises of God. And before we do that, keep your hand up if you need a Bible study. Somebody will bring it to you. I want us to have prayer tonight, and I want you to just group up with a little group that's right there with you. Somebody lead out, and here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray for the Turkmen people of Turkmenistan. That is a region right above Afghanistan. And let me read about this group of people. This is an unreached people group. The Turkmen were mainly a nomadic people for most of their history and did not settle in cities and towns until the advent of the Soviet system of government. Many pre-Soviet cultural traits have survived in Turkmen society, however, and have recently undergone a kind of revival, including the return of a moderate form of Islam. Secularism and atheism remain prominent for many Turkmen intellectuals. This is a people group with a world population of over 7 million people. Their population there in that particular region is 4,274,000. Constitutionally, there is freedom of religion, but in practice, there is limited freedom. The Turkmen believers, which are very few, need training and encouragement to carry the gospel message to their countrymen. Pray for the believers among the Turkmen that they will be accurately instructed in the faith and grow in their love for Christ and each other. Could we take just a minute and just group right where you are? Just kind of turn around, or if there's somebody right there with you, and let's bow our heads for prayer. I'd like for, if it's possible, one person right there in that little group to lead out in prayer, and then I will close us in just a short moment after we have prayer. You pray out loud with your little group, and then I will close us, and then we'll get into our Bible study. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. I just want to thank you that we could come to you on behalf of the Turkmen people. Lord, this people group that is unreached, I pray, Father, that you would send laborers into the harvest. Pray that you would put it on the hearts of those believers there to be bold in their witness. And then I pray, as Christians need training there, that they would be trained. Lord, use the Jesus film and other tools that are available to this particular people group and mightily anoint those tools so that the gospel would go forth to this particular people. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to make disciples of all the people groups. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be faithful, to send out laborers into the harvest. We thank you, Lord, for all of our Southern Baptist missionaries, for all missionaries who proclaim the gospel from all groups. And we particularly thank you for those that we support, those that we are on our prayer list that have connections with the people of our church. And we ask you, Lord, that you would that they would find favor in the work, that they would find favor with the people, and that you would open up opportunities for them to see the gospel penetrate into the culture in which they serve. And so, Father, thank you that we have this privilege to come to you in prayer. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a look in our scripture. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of James. And if you have your Bible study there, the Great Wall of China is a gigantic structure which cost an immense amount of money and labor. When it was finished, it appeared impregnable. But the enemy breached it, not by breaking it down or going around it. They did it by bribing the gatekeepers. Interesting. In many ways, God has given us the promises to overcome temptation. But really, unless you enact those promises, unless you and I take advantage of those promises and claim those promises, we will not have victory. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says this, find this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sin and death is the result. As you sow sin, sin just continues to sow more sin and more death. And so let no one say when he is tempted, he's being tempted of God. But you see what happens there when sin is allowed to take over in our life. Now, keep your spot. Well, you don't have to keep your spot. Just go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. We find the three arrows in Satan's quiver. The three arrows in Satan's quiver in 1 John 2, verse 16. The scripture says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three arrows in Satan's quiver. The lust of the flesh, there it goes. And then the lust of the eyes. What did Eve say in the garden? She saw that the fruit was desirous to make, was looked good. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Then the lust of the eyes, she noticed it with her eyes. And then the pride of life, that it would make one wise. So those are the three arrows that we face in temptation. Now we have been looking at God's precious promises. We've talked about the promise of heaven, the promise of how to overcome discouragement. Week 4, forgiveness. We have the promise of forgiveness. We have the promise of God's guidance in week 5, we looked at that. Strength. What promises are there for us as we forgive others and how to forgive others? We looked at that. The promise of peace. The promise of God's love. And tonight, victory over temptation. Now, probably the most key verse to me that has encouraged me, and I think it is, I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is probably one of the greatest promises of encouragement that you can overcome temptation. Can I say this to you? You can overcome temptation with the help of the Lord, claiming his promises. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now let's stop right there. One of the things about that passage is it overcomes the temptation that you have to say, I'm the only one that has to endure this. I'm the only one that is facing this much pressure. No. All temptation, there's nothing new under the sun, the writer of Ecclesiastes said. There's nothing new under the sun. So there's not any temptation that you're facing that others have not faced. It's common to man. And here's the great promise. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. If you're in a temptation or a test, a trial, you can hack it. You got to know that. You got to be encouraged by that. Some of these guys, some of y'all remember football practice when you were playing football and you were out there in the heat of the sun and you knew it was going to end. You knew that eventually they were going to say, break, we could go get water. And so you just endured it knowing that it was going to end, okay? God is not allowing you to be tempted beyond what you're able. You can take it. But with the temptation, we'll make a way of escape. So here's number one. God promises a way of escape. You can find your way out of this with the help of the Lord. The Lord will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is a scripture verse that you ought to commit to memory. That verse right there helps you have the promise that you know God will give you a way out. Now, go to Hebrews, and their second one, Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Now, there's a typo in number 2. The first T-O, cross it out. I hate when I do that. I'm sorry. But anyway, we can come boldly to Jesus for help. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, we know Jesus was God's Son. He had the power of God on him. He was God in the flesh. However, as a man, he was tempted in all points just the way we are, and yet without sin. The power of God was in his life in a way that he was able to live without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore, because of this, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So one of our great promises is that we can come boldly to Jesus for help. You're facing pressure. You're facing temptation. It's so easy. One of the things Chris mentioned that I'd been on this, went to the men's conference up there in Atlanta with some of our men. It was a fabulous weekend. And it was powerful because of the camaraderie and there were 6,000 men there. And the truth is, we can come boldly to the Lord for help. You've got encouragement. It helps when someone is with you and holding you accountable and identifying with you. But the scripture makes it clear that because of what Christ has done, we can come boldly to him for help in our time of need. Okay, number 3. Because we are under grace, Romans 6:14, sin will not master us. Look at this passage in Romans chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, well, let me go back and read verse 12 and following. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. So because we're under grace, sin, the power of sin was broken at the cross. Now, we have to wrestle with it. We have a sinful nature that we wrestle with it. And yet, to just cave in and say, no, I just have to cave in is not true. We don't have to do that. Sin has been rendered inoperative, and it should not master us. No longer is it master over us. Now, Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against God. So, number 4, scripture memory gives us the power to overcome. If you have a weakness in an area, then I would suggest that you find scriptures in that area that would help you and commit them to memory. And by an act of your will, in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of your flesh wanting to give in to some sin that Satan wants you to commit, you allow the Lord to bring to your remembrance the scripture that you have memorized. And God's word says that if we commit his word to memory, we've hidden it in our heart, that will help us not sin against God. So scripture memory, the power of scripture memory. Y'all remember Max Barnett that was here when he came for our disciple making conference? He writes little teeny books that are just little, like little handbooks or just like half books. He writes a bunch of them, and he's written them on all subjects. He's written one on scripture memorization, the benefits of scripture memorization, and it is very powerful. One of the benefits, one of the promises that we have is that if we will memorize scripture, then we can have power to overcome temptation. I a lot of times put myself to the test, and I put others to the test. People that want to, they say, oh, I've got a problem. I want to talk to you about something. A lot of times I will ask them, I want you to memorize this. It shows me how serious they are about getting victory. If someone says, you know, sometimes people just want to talk about their problems. Now, I've quit preaching and gone to meddling now, hadn't I? Mr. Brandon used to tell me that, see, what does he say? Preaching is pouring it on. Yeah, preaching is pouring it on, and there's something else he says. No, teaching is pouring it on, preaching is rubbing it in. You know, I've started rubbing it in. But the truth is, let me say this, you've got something that is a weakness. If you're not willing to memorize scripture, you're not willing to overcome that temptation. I'll talk to you, okay? I'm not trying to be ugly about it. I'll talk to you. But don't just tie up everybody's time with your problem if you're not willing to commit scripture to memory, because the word of God is the sword of the spirit. It's what helps you overcome that temptation. And so the Bible makes it clear. Now, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Go to the middle of your Bible. You'll come to Psalms. Take a right-hand turn. The next book is Proverbs. And go to Proverbs chapter 28. I've got to find it. I'm trying to hold my finger in different places and I can't do it all. Proverbs 28. And verse 13. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So confession and forsaking sin brings mercy. One of the things that Johnny Hunt said in that seminar is, the sins we cover, the Lord will uncover. The sins that we try to cover up, the Lord will uncover them. And the sins that we uncover, the Lord will cover. That's pretty good. And I think that's a great promise. If we are willing to confess our sin, and of course 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession and forsaking sin brings mercy. Just three more here. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. This is a great, Galatians, Ephesians, a great passage of scripture about victory. Number 6, the armor of God will help you have victory. Ephesians 6:10 says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Look at verse 16. "Above all, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Our faith is in the Lord. The shield of faith allows us to extinguish those three arrows, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now look between there at verse 12 and following. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." By the way, I have in my Bible circled the words "in the evil day." The verse there is indicating that there are days that are of higher stakes than others. That's interesting. That verse just gives me, it gives me chill bumps, but that's not the right way to describe it. It makes me bow up to think that there are days. You get up one day and you say, "Lord, could this be the evil day or an evil day?" Some days are easier than others, but the scripture says, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Be committed to the truth of God's word. Live according to the truth of God's word. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ if we are a believer in him. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have shoes on. Shoes that you have on that are the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The armor of God. It would not be a bad idea for us, and I'm preaching to myself. Sometimes when I'm preaching and teaching, I picture myself looking in a mirror, because the things that I'm trying to say to you, I got conversations going on in the back of my mind. The Lord said, why don't you do this? So I want you to know the Lord is bringing this to my mind. But my point is, it would not be a bad idea for every day of our life to wake up and say, "Lord, I put on the armor of God today." Because the armor of God gives us victory. It will help us have victory. And you picture yourself putting on that helmet of salvation. In other words, you have been saved. You're a child of God. Your loins are girded with truth. "Lord, I commit that I'm going to live by your truth. I'm not going to listen to what this world out here is tempting me to do." So the armor of God is powerful. Do you know that when we live the way we are fashioned to live as a believer, it's amazing what can happen. Look at James number 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says this. Now, I'm a simple person in many, many ways, and I love when things are clear. Therefore, verse 7 says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." Submit to God. "Lord, I'm under your authority. I want your ways in my life." Resist the devil. Using the word of God, I've hid it in my heart. I say no. And by the way, there are times, I can tell you from experience, that I feel drawn in a temptation. And I will actually say this: "Lord Jesus, by an act of my will, I reject that thought." Now, can I tell you this? It's like having a quiet time. Sometimes you don't feel like that. You know, it doesn't feel as natural. You say, "Well, I don't know that I'm really feeling it today to have a quiet time." You know what? In the days you don't feel it, as one preacher said, you keep having one till you do feel it. See what I'm saying? Sometimes in a temptation, you submit to God and then you resist the devil. "By an act of my will, I resist that temptation, and I want to do what you want me to do, Lord Jesus. I submit my life to you. And the Bible says Satan will flee from that person. If he doesn't have a crack that he can worm his way in, he's got other places he wants to go. He's looking for that weakness and that crack in our life. Now, in James chapter 1, go back to this one, and we'll conclude with this. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 and 12. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, I want you to go back and in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. There are some things you never learn without pressure. Now, I want to read something that really struck me that I thought was good, and then I'll tell you this very last blank, and we'll be done. Here's some things that we need to be reminded of. Temptation itself is the temptation. Here's some things that we misunderstand regarding temptation. God is not necessarily disappointed and displeased when we are tested. Sometimes we think that when we are that the testing is something's wrong with us. No, it's how we respond to the test. Temptation is a part of life. It doesn't mean that we should drop our guard, but it just means that it's how we respond. Using these promises that make the difference. We overcome temptation by separating from it, by using the Word of God to say no. Sometimes we have this misunderstanding about temptation. We think, when I am spiritually mature, I will no longer be harassed by temptation. Simply not true. As a matter of fact, I told someone at this conference that was with me on the trip, I said, God has done a work in your life. I said, get ready. Sometimes the closer we get to the Lord, the more temptation we run into. Amen. I heard one guy say one time, you know, you think Satan's after you. Can I tell you? He said, you're so ineffective for the Lord, the devil's got other people he's after. Don't think the devil's after you. But the more effective you become, the more committed you become, Satan will be after you. So it's not true that when I'm spiritually mature, I will no longer be harassed by temptation. Temptation itself is not sin. It's how we respond to it. Sometimes we hear the phrase, oh, we fall into temptation. Well, you know what? Satan is bringing temptation, and he's bringing testing. Now, in verse 12 of James chapter 1, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Number 8 is this, and this to me is a big takeaway for me in this Bible study. Victory may come through enduring. It's not always the escape, may be the strength to go through it. See what I'm saying? Perseverance in the midst of a trial. As a matter of fact, pressure on the grape is what brings out the grape juice. And if all we want to do is escape from every pressure, then all that character that God is trying to build into us will not necessarily come. And so Sometimes our victory comes in the endurance, and that brings patience in our life. I want us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. With our heads bowed, let me just say this. I read this, that a recent survey, actually as I look at it, it's not so recent anymore, but this particular survey that was done among Christians, they asked them to rank the areas of greatest spiritual challenge to them. Here's the way it came out. Number one, interesting, it said materialism. Number two, pride. These are tests, temptations. Pride. Number three, self-centeredness. Number four, laziness. And then number five was anger or bitterness. Number six, sexual lust. Number seven, envy. Number eight, gluttony. Number nine, lying. And then the survey respondents noted temptations were more potent when they had neglected their time alone with God. 81% said, when I've neglected my time alone with God, I am more susceptible to that temptation. 57% said that they were more susceptible to that temptation when they were physically tired. Sometimes you need to get rest to overcome temptation, to respond properly to the test. Resisting temptation was accomplished, 84% said, through prayer. 76% said, by avoiding compromising situation. What did we read about? Make no provision for the flesh. Don't give the flesh that opportunity. Don't be in a compromising situation. 66% said when they were in Bible study, they had victory. And then 52% said that being accountable to someone allowed them to have victory in temptation. The truth of the matter is that because we're saved, the power of that sin is broken, and sin shall not be master over us. He has given us his armor. He has given us his word, and we can respond. There is a way of escape.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.